Hi, I'm Rob Wright with CRN, and I'm here with my colleague Chad Bernstein, and we are here to discuss Cisco, which has a lot of news going on. Chad, let's start with the Cisco Analyst Conference.
Absolutely, and hey, Rob, it's been a really interesting year for Cisco, as we've discussed in these conferences, and also certainly throughout the year. I mean, Cisco. Been reeling for a while, several quarters of less than exciting growth, and plenty of reason to doubt John Chambers and his team. But in recent weeks, we've seen a pretty dramatic overhaul from Cisco. An enormous layoff announcement, which combined with an early retirement program and a couple other moves Cisco's made, has resulted in more than 12,000 of Cisco's employees exiting or in the process of exiting the company, and a couple of divestments, a couple of leave behinds in Cisco's overall strategy, not the least of which was its flip video camera and much of its consumer business. So the name of the game at Cisco right now seems to be refocusing, really getting away from this pie in the sky notion of 30 to 50 adjacencies and getting back to really five core areas where Cisco is thriving and feels it can dominate. And this week at Cisco's annual Financial Analyst Day out in San Jose, it was more the same of that message. You know, Cisco saying it had gotten a little too fat, a little too distracted, a little too just out of sorts, and it's really doubling down. And I think, you know, a couple glances at a lot of the analyst notes that came out of the conference from your who's who of UBS and Piper Jaffray and all the usual suspects that do cover Cisco, there's a lot of encouragement, guarded encouragement, but I think everyone was in agreement it's the most upbeat and focused they've seen Cisco in a long time.
Yeah, you had a sort of an analysis of the important takeaways from what was presented at that analyst conference. Can you give us kind of a rundown of the ones that stood out, the ones that really made an impact, that kind of show, all right, this is what Cisco's thinking right now, this is what they're focused on?
Absolutely. Well, the big discussion topic was what Cisco is going to look like as a result of this big restructuring. I mean, Chambers and his team said it themselves, more than 22,000 Cisco employees have been realigned, which the word Cisco uses for the move it's made to consolidate teams and put people in its global workforce in different positions, or just eliminate inefficiencies. You know, and I said a couple minutes ago that meant certainly more than 12,000. I think the number was 12,700 to be exact. Of employees no longer with the company. I mean, one of the big quotes from the presentation during the analyst day is Chambers saying we were fat, and he actually said we had an extra, and I quote, 4 to 5 inches around the waistline. So tightening up was a big thing for Cisco. I guess part and parcel of that is efficiency. Gary Moore, who was named Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Cisco earlier this year and has been in charge of its services business for a long time, said that because of these moves they've made, you know, Cisco is now approving deals, is now, you know, getting a lot of the deals to through the Cisco bureaucracy 70% faster than in the past, which if true is obviously a pretty impressive turnaround, and something that a lot of Cisco solution providers, a lot of Cisco channel partners are really excited about. And then I think, Rob, one of the big things we've seen from Cisco this week and have started to see is a much nastier, or if we want to be charitable about it, much more aggressive tone toward the competition. Cisco, in the past, because it leads in so many categories and because this was just sort of its corporate makeup, has not really been known for calling out its big competitors.
Right.
In public and making a big show. And I, throughout the analyst conference, I think you had as many as five executives call out Juniper and HP specifically, with Chambers himself saying that he's never seen Juniper more vulnerable. And Juniper
that's
seems
interesting.
To be, yeah. Juniper seems to be the number one company in Cisco's crosshairs at the moment. Interesting because Juniper is a fraction of Cisco's size, but competes in many of the same markets. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's the other big thing this week is Cisco has trotted out what looks like this kind of multi-pronged campaign against Juniper, where they had Rob Lloyd, their top sales executive and the executive vice president of worldwide sales, talk to the Wall Street Journal and other outlets and essentially trash Juniper in no uncertain terms. That couple that with the launch of this website, the URL of which is overpromising, underdelivering.
Right.
Cisco is calling out what appears to be, you know, a launch schedule for Juniper, for some of Juniper's edge routing products. And the point, you know, that Cisco is trying to make being Juniper has been touting a lot of these improvements for a few years now without actually delivering. And as I've also learned, and as, you know, we've also seen, there's another interesting viral video going around that depicts, I believe it's someone waiting for a pizza, a user ordering a pizza from Juniper, and then having to wait 18 months for its delivery. It's, you know, it's pretty funny as these PR stunts go. But, mm-hmm. I mean, make no mistake. I mean, the net-net is, you know, Cisco is coming after its big competitors and folks who have been trashing it in the press for much of the year in a big way. And I understand, just as a kind of add-on to this, Rob, from a couple of my sources inside Cisco that this is no accident. They have a targeted group of folks now and a targeted effort to really ramp up the competitive rhetoric a little bit more, point out some of the inconsistencies and the arguments made against Cisco by folks like Juniper and HP. And, you know, not if they're not abandoning that strategy of always taking the high road, they're certainly starting to ignore it.
Now they you know, had some harsh words for HP after the 3Com move, if I remember correctly, and that it didn't really seem to work too well for them. It didn't really seem like that fit their business. But now they're kind of going back to that with Juniper. Do you think that this is going to work for them, taking sort of more of a competitive focus and calling these guys out in public and kind of showing a tougher side?
It's hard to say. You know, for us who have the daily joy of covering these conflicts and covering the channel, I mean, Rob, obviously it's great theater. I mean,
yeah.
It's headlines and certainly entertainment for us when these giant companies get into the ring and start throwing the muscle around. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's a departure for Cisco because Cisco, you know, when pressed on competition in interviews and, you know, when asked about its competitors on earnings calls, as I recall, you know, has always taken that high road, has always gone, you know, very in the mode of, well, they're great competitors and, well, you know, we focus on market transitions. I mean, the year after Cisco executives, you know, took off and just, you know, took aim at HP at the 2009 Cisco Partner Summit, one after the other. A year later, in 2010, it was as if none of that had happened. And I think I heard that same line from a number of different Cisco channel executives and Cisco C-suite executives saying, we don't focus on competitors, we focus on market transitions. If you're putting together a video that, you know, depicts Juniper as a pizza place and, you know, you're doing all these things with, you know, with kind of with a deliberate intent to point out specific competitors, I don't know if you can really fall back on that argument anymore. I mean, the days of Cisco having the reputation of taking the high road are pretty much out the window. And as a couple folks have pointed out, this could backfire on Cisco because it can also be seen as acknowledgement that Cisco is scared, that people like Juniper and HP and other folks who compete with Cisco in its various top networking and collaboration and data center business areas are legitimate threats. Well, it's interesting, Rob, and I realized I should have mentioned this before, right? During Chambers' presentation at the Cisco Analyst Day, he called out four competitors specifically, and those were Juniper, HP, we've already talked about, Avaya, who by a number of analyst estimates has eclipsed Cisco for worldwide market share in unified communications. And the fourth one, most interesting to a lot of observers, was Huawei, which Chambers described in no uncertain terms as perhaps Cisco's toughest long-term competitor. We do keep hearing about Huawei because they're a global force. They're a $28 billion company by most reports. And while they don't have by any means an enormous enterprise presence in the U.S., I have heard from a number of channel partners and also a number of vendors and also a number of just regular observers of the enterprise networking space that you got to pay attention to them.
Sure.
I mean, no one's really quite sure what Huawei's intentions are, but I don't think there's been a week where we don't see some report or some piece of data on how they're trying to build a presence in North America.
Sure. Yeah, good point. Well, I guess the question that comes from all of this is, you know, how is this affecting the channel and what is Cisco doing to either fortify its channel presence or enhance its channel presence as it kind of, you know, scales down in certain areas? And, you know, obviously you mentioned the headcount. There's a lot of lost headcount. Does that mean that there is going to be some perhaps negative effect on what they do in their indirect sales strategy, or are they looking to shore that up?
Well, Rob, I think that was a big concern of partners when the restructuring effort began. I mean, they heard Cisco declare in May during its earnings call at the time that it was going to look to remove $1 billion in expenses in fiscal 2012. And when that happens, red flags go up. And as is often the case with vendors, when they have to take out all those zeros, channel resources get nipped and tucked, marketing resources get nipped and tucked. But as we've seen in more recent weeks, that's apparently not going to be the case with Cisco because CRN has been able to confirm with a number of Cisco sources, including Rob Lloyd and also now Andrew Sage, Vice President of Worldwide Partner Led, that Cisco is going to in fact be investing a lot more than ever before in channel programs and channel marketing muscle. I spoke with Andrew Sage earlier this week, and the big news for partners is that Cisco is going to be putting $75 million in new channel resources into this strategy that it's calling partner-led, which is kind of an umbrella strategy, what it's going to market with for its mid-market and SMB customers where a lot of its channel partners play. And what's happening there is Cisco is pulling back its own sales team and really kind of letting partners drive the bus on a lot of these opportunities, bring them to Cisco, see better rewards for bringing them to Cisco, have better access to Cisco managers who can approve deals and approve registration and approve eligibility of these programs and Cisco's incentives programs a lot faster. So, I mean, by what we've seen, Rob, you know, it seems that Cisco really is putting more resources into the channel and also making good on this promise to get simpler in the way it does business with partners by taking out a lot of the registration headaches and making sure that a lot of these programs are well funded. I mean, $75 million. Not an enormous investment of money when you talk about a company that does, you know, $40 billion a year in revenue. But Cisco also declaring that by the end of its fiscal 2012, it has to remove $1 billion in expenses. It's a pretty good amount of money. And as you know, Rob, you know, you got to give it up to Cisco also for putting a number out there, for saying, you know, here's a benchmark, here's what we're going to do with some of our riches, because When we ask vendors about new programs and what kind of investment they're putting behind it, I think you'd agree with me. The response we most often get in the press is, well, we don't want numbers just flying around. And no, it's not about the dollar amount.
Right, right.
Which is true to a certain extent. But here's Cisco saying in no uncertain terms, $75 million in new money purely for channel resources. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this in a previous discussion on this podcast about Cisco, but one of the things that I've always believed is a huge differentiator for Cisco was its channel presence. It's got a very loyal channel. It's got a lot of guys out there that over the last two decades, let's say, or more, have made a lot of money with Cisco, and they have good relationships over there to this day. I think it's interesting, though, because it seems like from some of the things that you've read or written, rather, and the stuff that I've read, and you hear partners talking about that, about how HP and Juniper are really sort of mounting aggressive campaigns to maybe get some of the guys that have been long time, very loyal, exclusive Cisco partners and moved a lot of product for that company. Do you think, what's your sense? Do you think that there may be some vulnerability there? Do you feel like there are some guys that are looking to maybe hedge their bet and explore partnerships with some of the competition out there?
I absolutely. The sense I'm getting, and I talk to a lot of Cisco's top partners all the time, and certainly a lot of those same partners partner with Juniper and also HP. I get the sense that a lot of the stalwart Cisco partners, while perhaps they may have those other relationships with HP and Juniper and were concerned that Cisco had lost its way. I mean, I think generally speaking, you're not going to find too many partners who didn't think Cisco needed to make a change, who didn't think Cisco needed to refocus.
Sure.
But did Cisco's troubles mean an exodus of partners out of its channel and into the arms of its competitors? Absolutely not. I hear, from gold and silver level Cisco partners all the time that the changes have been really impressive, that the channel managers and the sales managers, particularly Chuck Robbins, who now heads up all of Cisco's Americas sales and has, I've been told, been meeting with the top partners on a regular basis to hear their thoughts. They've come away with a lot of positives. They see, they appreciate kind of the openness with which Cisco has attacked its problems, meaning it's been spread out in too many directions, meaning it got too bloated, meaning there were a lot of things that needed to change about how effectively and how hassle-free it did business with channel partners.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, I think a lot of partners see a long way to go for Cisco to really stay dominant. But I don't think anybody is betting against Cisco. I really don't. I mean, it's, the old saw on the software side was never bet against Microsoft, right? And it's, I think it's going to take a lot more gains on the part of an HP or a Juniper or any of these other competitors and a lot more stumbles for Cisco before partners really start betting against them.
Sure, sure. The Microsoft analogy is a good one. And actually, that brings up an interesting point because you read a lot of the analyst talk out there. You read a lot of opinions from people that say, well, hey, maybe there needs to be a change in leadership at Cisco. Maybe, there are a couple editorials in particular that have really taken Chambers to task and it suggested that he be pushed out, which, seems absurd to us. What do the partners feel like? I mean, are they still behind Cisco's leadership, behind Chambers, or are they starting to have, doubts about, well, maybe there does need to be maybe new blood at the top level?
And you're right, Rob. We do hear these things all the time. There's been a Reuters story circulating for the past couple days that that quotes Cisco insiders anonymously, of course, as saying that, you know, the board members at Cisco and a lot of the higher ups over there are getting concerned that there isn't a firm succession plan in place. I mean, Chambers is a rock star. You know, other than Steve Jobs and perhaps a few others, I mean, there's no other CEO in tech that's so closely associated with as a public face of the company, as the top political player in a company, and has such a cult of personality that Chambers does. I haven't heard really any partners tell me that it's time for Chambers to go. I think they see Chambers' departure in the next 5 years or so as a foregone conclusion. I mean, the guy is 62, he's been in charge at Cisco for 16 years, which is a lifetime compared to many of his peers and running in similar positions at similar sized companies. But I don't. I think the only concern from the partners is the same as a lot of the analysts, a lot of the observers. There's no clear succession plan that's obvious. There are a couple candidates inside Cisco that a lot of partners think could fit the bill, and Cisco's often said that its upper echelon is a pretty deep bench of CEO caliber talent. But I mean, that Reuters article, even though there's not really much in it besides conjecture, it did raise an interesting possibility that the board might go outside or look to outside candidates to replace Chambers, just because, I mean, it would be one of the hardest replacements in the industry. I mean, it's Cisco without John Chambers walking through the aisles, you know, during keynotes and talking about, overcoming issues and being candid and all the usual things that Chambers does to motivate the company. I mean, Cisco without Chambers is kind of unthinkable.
At the moment.
But it's, I mean, Chambers is getting on in years, and you have to think about that. And it's, as we saw with Charlie Giancarlo leaving Cisco, I guess it would be 4 years ago now, a lot of perhaps those CEO candidates inside Cisco, who might have a shot at the top job, are getting a little restless, as you might expect.
Sure.
I think just a last thought on that. I think a lot of the partners are focused as a potential successor for Chambers, not to replace the guy before he's even announced he's leaving or many years before he's announced he's leaving. A lot of the partners are really, really impressed with Rob Lloyd, who is, as I said before, the executive vice president for worldwide operations and Cisco's top sales executives. All of the channel, all of the worldwide field sales organizations roll up to him, and he's in that tier of executive VPs just below Chambers. And I Lloyd earlier in his career, and I've been kind of surprised to learn how many partners don't know this already, owned a VAR many years before he went to Cisco. And is a pretty impressive and pretty regular channel advocate, and in the past year in particular has kind of emerged as Cisco's face, Cisco's top executive face of channel advocacy, of promoting Cisco through the channel, of promoting Cisco as a channel competitor versus HPs and Junipers. I mean, say this for Cisco, they have channel advocates in very high places over there.
Yeah, that is a good point. A question for you, though, to put on your thinking cap and use your own sort of magic eight ball. Do you think that as Cisco sort of refocuses and pulls back from some of these adjacent markets and some of these new areas and, loses quite a bit of headcount, is that going to hurt them, I guess, going forward as they look to maybe innovate and sort of evolve the company? Because obviously that's something that Cisco's wanted to do for a number of years. They don't want to be just sort of pigeonholed, as you might say, in networking. They want to be a data center player. They are a data center player, but they want to obviously be more than just switches and routers and whatnot. Do you think that this may hurt them a little bit as they look to sort of develop new technologies and you know, on the R&D front, perhaps?
Hard to say. I mean, it certainly could. I mean, it stands to reason that slimmer can be better in the sense that there's a lot more focus. There's fewer sales theaters, fewer committees, fewer just layers upon layers of bureaucracy that, you know, have always been kind of the problem at Cisco. Mm-hmm. And in the eyes of many, I mean, when you lose that many people, and Cisco has gone on record to say that among that that headcount reduction was, I think it was 17% of their VP and above level talent.
Right.
When you have that level of talent leaving Cisco, you know, you have to wonder where it's going. And we've already seen a number of Cisco engineers get picked up at Apple. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen folks go to HP. We've seen a number of folks go to Juniper. And I think also you're starting to hear about some pretty well-known Cisco representatives at the managerial level go to VARs as well.
I had
one Cisco Gold partner tell me earlier in August that, you know, as much as you don't want to hear about these massive layoffs with the economy so bad, I mean, for a gold level Cisco partner that has all the relationships, being able to pluck VP level talent from Cisco now out of a job and put them in place at his VAR is a golden opportunity.
Yeah,
they know the market, and the ramp up time obviously for those new employees would be so short. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see if it dents Cisco or you know, distracts Cisco, or really it's a bad thing that so much of Cisco's talent will have gone to other places. But you know, it's Cisco certainly isn't saying it's worried. I mean, Gary Moore, executive vice president, went on record at the analyst conferences saying that a lot of the people Cisco let go of were good people, but were not the next generation leaders that Cisco felt it needed. So the company line is, you know, if you got let go, you got let go for a reason.
Wow. There you go.
Pretty cold sentiment in the type of economy we're in, but Cisco's going to do what it's going to do, you know?
Well, they were in a position where obviously they had to make some tough decisions, and they had a lot of people, who were calling for, you know, some big changes to be made. So I guess I can understand the drastic measures and the harsh rhetoric. But it will be fascinating to look at, you know, how this affects them maybe 5 years down the road. Will this sort of retrenching and refocusing and downsizing give, you know, maybe some smaller companies like a Juniper, or maybe even companies we haven't even, you know, really seen on our radar yet, give them an opportunity to develop new technology or something that can get them into the game and get them a leg up on the larger competitors? I mean, we've seen that in other markets. We haven't seen that in networking. Cisco's been so dominant for so long, but you know, it's something obviously we won't be able to see for a few years at least. But I'm sure you'll have your eye on it, Chad.
No, absolutely, and I think you do see that in some cases. I mean, you know, Cisco's dominance in routing and switching and the core networking technologies challenged. I mean, sure. I mean, a couple points of market share here or there might change hands, and Cisco's reported declines year over year in revenue, but Cisco is still the big boy here. But
right.
If you look at other areas Cisco plays in, specific, more niche areas like say application delivery or WAN optimization, Cisco is getting its clock cleaned by folks.
Yeah.
Like in those two examples, F5 Networks and Riverbed, who are kind of the big players in those admittedly smaller ponds. So, you know, there's another argument here that perhaps, you know, Cisco is spread so far and too wide that it's it's getting hit on a number of emerging areas of emerging importance by smaller, more nimble vendors. I mean, yeah. You could say that about Microsoft too, and certainly other big folks who are being challenged by smaller players in particular areas. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, will Cisco toppled as the networking king? I'm not sure I see that happening as long as I stay on this beat, which will hopefully be for a long time, Rob.
Many years if we're lucky. Well, Chad, I do appreciate the time and the insight into all that's going on with Cisco. I know the networking beat in general, there's a lot going on with the telecom stuff, obviously, and other areas within networking IT. But the Cisco beat in particular is one that is rich with material. So I appreciate the time and, like I said, the insight.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks, Chad.